Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Brachos Daf Chav Dalad Brachos 24. In today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Tefach Be'isha Erva, that even a handbreadth that is revealed in the woman of a body is in a place where, typically speaking, it's expected to be covered, that this is going to be considered an erva, a place of licentiousness. And so the Gemara asks, well, for what context do we care? Lamai, what's the reason why you're telling us that a revealed handbreadth in a woman's body is considered to be a place of licentiousness? What's the relevance? If it's being said in reference to whether or not a person will be permitted to gaze upon a married woman on part of her body, of course that's not going to be permitted. V'amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes already said with respect to the context on Numbers chapter 31, verse 50, which discusses the war on the Midianites, and it states there that if anybody finds certain pieces of jewelry, like the Etzadah and the Tzamid, and the Agil and the Chumaz, and the Etzadah is basically an ankle bracelet, and the Tzamid is a hand bracelet, and the Agil and the Chumaz, these were jewelry for the genitalia. So the Gemara explains, Lama mona kosov tachshitin shebechutz im tachshitin shebefnim. Why is the jewelry that's worn outside on the outer parts of the body, like the bracelet or a ring, why are they listed with the jewelry that's worn on the parts of the body that are covered? And it's to teach us, says Rav Sheshes, Lomar lecha kol mistakel be'etzba ketana shel isha, to teach us that whoever gazes at even at the small finger of a woman, which is where, basically speaking, the ring would be, which is typically speaking revealed, it's as though they're looking at a place that's hidden, at a place of licentiousness, which is the place of the kumaz, which is the jewelry for the genitalia. And if that's the case, it's obviously not the case that when Rabbi Yitzchak says that a handbreadth of a woman is considered licentiousness, that he's talking about gazing, because even about an etzba, even about a finger, it's going to be prohibited to look at it. And so therefore, for sure, that's not the context here. You're not allowed to look at another person's body, and for sure you're not allowed to gaze upon the body of a married woman. So even a revealed part. So what are we talking about here? So when Rabbi Yitzchak says that a tefach be'isha zerva, he's talking about his own wife, ela be'ishto. He's saying that we're talking about a person's own wife, which generally speaking a person is permitted to gaze upon. And if that's the case, what's the reason why we need to be told that which part is licentiousness? Look, kriyashma, that if a person wants to recite Shema and a part of his wife's body is uncovered, and we're talking about a part which is typically speaking going to be covered up, then the person should not be reciting the Shema in that presence, because that's considered to be a part of nakedness, and a person should not recite the Shema in a place of nakedness. And of course, if it refers to a woman who he's not married to, but even about his own wife, then he's not allowed to recite the Shema if there's parts of her body that are considered nakedness, which are uncovered. So in this context, Rav Chisda says, Shok be'isha erva, that the thigh of a woman who is married is considered to be nakedness, and it's prohibited to gaze upon it. And if it's his own wife, he'd be prohibited to recite the Shema. And so the commentaries discuss, well, we just said any part of the body that's normally covered. So why do we have to single out the thigh? So the commentaries discuss that, but that's for another discussion. And Rav Chisda records that the proof text for this is from the prophecy of Isaiah, who says, Goli shok ivrina haros. And also it says, Uchsiv tigal er vasech v'gam teira er char pasech. In this context, Shmuel comes along and says, Kol b'yisha erva, that the voice of a woman is going to be considered nakedness. And the Shulchan Aruch understands this to mean the singing voice, even though some commentaries say that this refers to the speaking voice. And the basis for this is from Shir HaShirim, from the Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, Ki kolech arev umarech naveh, because your voice is sweet and your appearance is beautiful. And from the fact that the verse praises the sound, the voice of the woman, we see that this is one of the aspects of beauty and can arouse people. And Rav Sheshes says in this context, Seir be'isha erva, that the hair of a woman is nakedness. As it says, Sarech ke'eder ha'izim, that your hair is like a flock of goats. And since he praises the hair of the woman, we see from here that this is also considered to be parts of nakedness. These ideas that the voice of a woman is considered nakedness and the hair of a woman is considered nakedness have been used by many authorities to say that a person is not allowed to listen to a woman singing and a person is not allowed to, that the hair of a woman must be covered. But we could say that this really needs to be understood in context. First of all, with respect to the hair of a woman, we already know that this can be contextualized because we know if the hair of a woman is considered nakedness, then all hair should be considered nakedness, even the hair of unmarried women. And we know that that's not the case anymore, that Rishonim write, the Rosh writes, the Mordechai, Gos Maimonios, the Ravio, they already write that since we live in a society where many women walk around with their heads uncovered, therefore we can recite the Shema in their presence. So this teaches us that, clearly speaking, this is something that can be contextualized. And if the hair is no longer considered to be enticing, then the Shema can be recited in that presence. And so too with respect to the voice of a woman, which we said that the statement was the voice of a woman is considered licentiousness, that was said with the context of whether or not we could recite the Kriya Shema when women were singing. And the Mordechai already in Ashkenaz in the 13th century cites the Urayim that he says that since today we are found amongst the nations of the world where they're singing all the time, and so therefore we don't have to be careful anymore about studying Torah in the presence of a woman's voice singing. And this too teaches us that it's not necessarily the case that it's about arousal anymore. And so therefore I rely upon the position of Rav Bigman, who says more important about whether or not it's a woman singing is the context in which it's singing. If it's a context of enticement and arousal, then it's prohibited.